continue with our sermon series. I know I was gone last Sunday, and I probably said the week before that that was the last of the sermon series. But as I was preparing for today and the topic that I felt like we should cover, I think making it worth the fight. The fight is worth fighting for our family, for our faith, for our family's faith, right? And how we want to raise our children in the faith and how we want to raise ourselves in the faith. And so this will be the last sermon in our worth the fight or worth fighting for series. Basically, the goal of today and when we put together a service like this is to kind of rally us all back to coming to church, coming back in the routine of the ministries that happen that have taken a break over the summer and getting back to our commitment. You're not committing to me that, oh, Pastor Kevin says I have to be in church, so I have to be there. Okay, but I want you to make the commitment to the Lord that you're going to be attending and not just coming to fill a spot in the pew or the chair, but that you're coming to participate and you're going to grow in your relationship with God, that you're making a commitment to yourself, to your family, to the Lord. And this is just a great time when we've had our vacations, we've had our summer things that we do, a lot of traveling, or just North Dakota is only nice for a few months of the year. I think this is the maybe the second day it'll be over 90 all summer. We've been blessed, right? And so it's not 90 below, and we have to sit at home, okay? So I realize that in the summer, you get a couple of months, we're going to be gone a lot. And now that school begins and we are home more, and we just want to set that routine of coming to church on Sundays. And so this is just a fun way to bring the family back together. And I just encourage you guys to make that commitment today. And so I'm making a pretty, probably a big generalization. But if you are here today, if you've come in this room, I'm pretty sure that you have some desire to have more of God in your life. Would that be a safe assumption, that you realize it's important to have some relationship with God? Maybe you're here and you've not missed a Sunday in our throughout the summer, and this is just another Sunday that you're in church. Maybe you've been gone all summer, and this is your time back, and you realize, okay, it's the summer or school's back in session, so I'm back in church or whatever it would be. So the purpose of this church is to help you in that endeavor, that your relationship with God would grow, that you would be encouraged by one another. Just being in the presence of other believers and followers of Christ will encourage you in your relationship with God, where when we are away for quite a while and we're not really focused on the Lord, it's hard to get, hard to keep our relationship with God going. And so that's our purpose, is to help you to refresh that commitment, and that each Sunday you're here, you would be encouraged and excited to grow in your faith. So as you commit to coming regularly to church, we commit to providing that healthy place to grow, that will provide different types of Bible studies that might be pertain more to you, that will do different events that, where we don't just come and sit around a circle and pray every time we're together, but there can be fun times to have church and be Christians. And so after church today, that'll be a fun time that we can hang out as a family and get to know one another. But it's all about your commitment to your family, commitment to your faith, commitment to the Lord and to his church. Commitment is a very strong word. These types of commitments that I've just mentioned, they take a fight. They take you making a stance that I'm going to do this. This is who I'm going to be. This is what my priorities are going to be. And so it takes a fight, and it's worth fighting for. Your faith, your relationship with God, helping your children to understand the importance of it, all of that is worth the fight, okay? Getting up on a Sunday morning, this is the first Sunday after school's been in for, you know, 4 days or whatever. It was probably hard for you to get up this morning, okay, and make it to church, but you did it. You've won that fight, okay? So for the next little while we preach and while we play and eat some good food, okay, be encouraged today that your fight, you're winning the fight. And next Sunday and Wednesday and whatever Bible studies or whatever things you may do through the week, that those things are fights that are worth fighting and stances that are worth taking, okay? Being a follower of Christ isn't easy, no matter what your age. I don't know how many times I've said this. This is just something that I guess the Lord continues to put on my heart to tell you that being a Christian is not easy. Okay, following Christ, you're going to be different. You're going to do things different than the rest of the world because Christ is different, right? Following him, we don't do the things that the world does, and how the decisions that we make aren't always easy. You're going to go through things that are difficult. You're going to have sickness in your family. You're going to have, you know, tragedy. You're going to have emergencies. You're going to have situations that are going to cause you to stress out a little bit, right? I can't promise that once you commit your life to Christ that everything is going to be peaceful and perfect, okay? But I can promise you that you will be blessed. And in those times when you do have struggles and problems, that God will be with you through it. You won't be fighting on your own. I know a lot of people that don't know Christ, and when they go through things, they talk about, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't have any. And followers of Christ will say, I have Jesus, and I'm glad that I have him and for the family of God to go through this stuff with me. Okay? So being a follower of Christ, even as a child or a teenager, whether you're a young married couple or a veteran couple, right? Every part of life has its struggle. No matter the age group, no matter what your circumstances are like, whether you have a family or don't, whether you're married or not, whether you're young and in school or not, you have things that come up, circumstances that happen, temptations, you have struggles of life. We all have that in common, okay? And so even though I can't promise you an easy life following God, when you make the commitment to do it, you have so many people going through life with you to encourage you and help you. Jesus actually addressed the crowd one day on this theme of following him, that there's a cost to following Jesus. You might be thinking, like, and Pastor Kevin, there can't be a cost to following Jesus because salvation is free, forgiveness is free. We don't have to give a certain amount to the offering. We don't have to do a certain amount of nursery work or children's church. We can't buy our way to heaven. We can't work our way to heaven. So it is free in that way, that salvation was paid for by Jesus Christ. There's nothing that I can do to earn it, okay? So you're right in thinking that it doesn't cost anything, but actually, following Jesus costs you everything. It's free, but it'll cost you your life. Okay, how do we explain that? So let me do that. If you want to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 14, there's a Bible in the chair in front of you. Luke is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. So we're in Luke chapter 14, and the verse will be on the screen as well. Jesus, as you can imagine, had so many people following him. And then by this part of the story, he's healed a bunch of people. If you remember, he fed 5,000 people like two times. He's delivered people. He's provided for people. And so if someone does that for you and you think, wow, this guy is amazing, you're probably going to follow him a little bit, right? And so Jesus is going from town to town and doing different things, and a large crowd are following him. Or they'll hear that he's headed to Jerusalem or Bethany, and oh, man, we're going to go to Galilee and meet him on the other side of the sea. Okay, all of those things were happening where thousands of people would gather to follow Jesus. So in Luke 14, verse 25, Jesus realizes that they're following him kind of for the free stuff, kind of for the fun stuff, the exciting adventure of who this man is. And so he says in verse 25, "Now large crowds were going along with him, and Jesus turned and said to them, 'If anyone wants to come to me, and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.'" That's weird. I don't know if I have the wrong verse. I thought this was a family service that I was encouraging you to commit your family to the Lord. And Jesus is talking about we're supposed to hate our mother and father. And kids are supposed to hate their mom and dad. What's going on here? I don't know if I put the wrong verse. No. Okay. Jesus here seems a little bit harsh. And he's made some other comments at different times when he was calling disciples. And one said, "Well, let me go and bury my father and then I'll come back." And Jesus says, "No, let the dead bury the dead." And whoa, Jesus, you're kind of harsh here. What's going on? Okay, we do see several other times where he tells the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't kick them away. Don't push them away." So he loves people. He honored his mother, Mary, for several years. She was part of his time in ministry, and she was at the cross, and he assigned John the other John to the disciple John to take care of her. Okay, so he does love family and he does want children to obey and honor their father and mother. Okay, so if you take anything from this message, what they're probably going to take is Pastor Kevin said we're supposed to hate our mom and dad, so I'm okay. No, don't take that from my message today. You're to honor your father and mother, okay? What Jesus is explaining in this very harsh statement is the cost of following him, that it's not fun and games. I'm not going to provide manna and fish and healings, that everything, any problem that you ever have, I'll just take care of it right now. You guys come and follow. He's telling them there's a cost. And you need to count the cost of following me. He goes on in verse 27, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Do we have to walk around with a big old cross on our back like Jesus? No, what he's saying is you need to identify with him, that you're gonna be persecuted for following me, for believing in me. People are gonna hate you because you're a Christian, because you identify with me. He hadn't yet died on the cross. This was one of his prophecies of what was going to happen. So we have the benefit of looking back and understanding what he was saying. Those believers at that moment probably didn't understand, but they knew what a cross was for, that a cross was for crucifying a criminal, and it was a shameful way to die. And what Jesus is saying, that you have to carry your own cross, that you have to follow him, believe in him, identify with him, and suffer all the things of being a Christian and a Christ follower is going to put you through. Denying yourself, accepting Jesus. And in the next several verses, Jesus encourages those believers, those followers, to count the cost. He says in verse 28, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him." We have a lot of builders in the crowd today. Do you start a project before you know how much the whole thing is going to cost? No. And you get partway through it, "I've ran out of money, what am I going to do?" And people will ridicule you, he's saying. Or verse 31, "What king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he's strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter this one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other one's still far away, he'll send a delegation and ask for terms of peace." Okay? He's saying, you're going to count the cost. Is this worth, you know, me? Am I risking the lives of 10,000 people if that army has more and they're going to defeat my guys? Is this worth the fight? And he ends this section with, "So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions." So what does it cost to follow Jesus? What does it cost to make a commitment to him? Everything. Everything. And us awesome Americans who have a lot of stuff, man, that's hard to understand. What's Jesus talking about here? He's not talking about what possessions we own, but what possessions own us. Okay? That's the commitment. This is a fight. So many things fight for our priority in our life. You don't need to turn here, but you can mark it. Matthew 16, Jesus tells this cost. He says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to follow me must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it." And then a few chapters later in Matthew 19, he tells the man to sell all his possessions, to give to the poor, and to follow me. Jesus doesn't command every believer, every follower, to sell all that we have and to give it to the poor and to follow him. Okay? In the New Testament church, they had things. They provided for their ways and their livelihood, but those things didn't own them. They might have had those possessions, but Jesus is saying to give up yourself, give up your life to follow him. Every time Jesus tells about the cost of believing in him, the cost of following him, it's to deny ourselves, take up our cross, which is to identify with him, and to follow him, be obedient to his ways. One person in the Bible that illustrated this very well was John the Baptist. And we don't do a lot of teachings on who John the Baptist was, but does anyone know what he was famous for? John the Baptist, what was he famous for? Do you guys know? Baptizing Jesus. His title is what he's famous for. He was a Baptist. He baptized. He was a forerunner. He made the people ready for Jesus. He would baptize them for repenting of their sins to prepare them for Jesus. So when Jesus came to be baptized, and John saying, "Whoa, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me." And Jesus said, "No, I need to do this as an example to all the believers that I'm going to be purified of this example of baptism." That's what he's famous for. In John 3, verse 30, so John, the book of John was written by John the disciple. The story is John the Baptist, two totally different people, okay? But apparently the Bible didn't believe in last names, so you have 18 Jameses, and you have to keep them straight, okay? In John chapter 3, verse 25, and John is the very next book after Luke, you can turn there and follow along with me. John 25 says, then a matter of dispute developed on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, and he's talking about Jesus, who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all the people are coming to him. All your disciples, all the people that you've baptized are now moving to Jesus. Shouldn't you be afraid? You're losing your followers. You're not going to be famous anymore, okay? Listen to how John replies to them in verse 27. A person can receive not even one thing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. So he who has the bride is the groom, but the friend of the groom who stands and listens to him rejoices greatly because of the groom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. Your Bible may say, needs to become greater. I need to become less. Okay? It's this concept of he greater than me. Hey, you might see some t-shirts with it. Maybe the graphic looks like this I have on the next slide. He greater than me. That's the gist of the entire gospel and what my lesson about commitment is for you today, that we need to put Jesus above us. We must become less and him become more. We need to make room for Jesus in our life. We need to make him increase in our life. I'm going to close with a little object lesson to help. This kind of helps the kids to and adults too, because sometimes I get amazed by them myself. Okay? And so we're going to end with this, but I need a volunteer so I don't have to do everything myself. Anyone? Yeah. How about Callan, is it? Or did I call you the wrong name? Okay, good. I know one time I called him the wrong name and growing. You can come all the way up here, buddy. Actually, you could come on this side. Okay? I called him by his brother's name, and I always got that. Everybody always called me my brother's name, and I didn't like it. So I'm glad I got it right this time. Okay? Yeah, you're going to help me by pouring stuff into this vase. But first, let me explain what these are. So this vase is going to represent one day in all of our lives, okay? This is you. This is one of your days. This isn't you, sorry. This is one of your days, okay? You are the sand, okay? There's nothing tricky about any of this. The fun part is, it's mostly science. This isn't any sort of illusion or magic. This is sand out of our backyard, and this sand is us. We were made basically out of sand when Adam was formed out of sand. So this is you. This is all your stuff, okay? All the good things you do, all the work, the school, your hobbies. I know you're in sports. Do you play any activities or sports? Even football or soccer or anything? You're a farming guy? So all of your, he rolled his eyes, all of your farming stuff. What do you do all day? You just sit around. I know you play video games probably. No? Okay? The kids will do a lot of stuff, right? And then as adults too, we have people who go fishing. We're going to taste fish today. A lot of farming guys, hunters, sports people. Okay? It's all of our stuff. So it's not necessarily bad. It's just who we are. Okay? But it includes the bad stuff too. The rocks are going to represent the things we do for Jesus, to get more of Jesus. We're going to pray, okay? We're going to read the Bible. We're going to go to church, okay? We're going to disciple others in their walk with the Lord, okay? So that's what these things represent. So on a typical day, if you would take the sand and you would pour it into the vase for me, I'll hold the vase and just pour it kind of from a corner there, okay? This is you living your life. That's okay. That's all right. Okay, you living your life and doing all the things that you enjoy to do on a daily basis, okay? All right? So typically, we will do our stuff first, right? We have jobs to do. We have to cook breakfast in the morning for the kids and get them off to school even before we go to school, right? Or whatever we do after school, in the evening, all those things. We get that done, and we realize we want to, we should probably pray, right? Is praying a good thing? So why don't you put, you can choose a rock to put in there. Yeah, just don't break the vase. It's my wife's, and we'll have to have another argument about that. Okay, so we pray. Okay, maybe what's another good thing we should do? One of these. Sing. Yeah, we could worship. Why don't you put this one in there? Okay, so we're going to worship God. Oh, now our jar is already full. We don't have any more room for the other stuff to go in, right? Because we did our stuff first, and then we tried to do the things that would get more of Jesus in our life. Go ahead and take the rocks out. Okay? Set it down. Can you reach that one? Okay? And then we're going to pour this back into ourself. Okay? Good job. Okay? Okay, now we're going to try a different thing. Okay? I wonder what would happen if we put Jesus first. Maybe if we woke up in the morning and he prayed first. So why don't you take this one and put it down? I'm just going to make sure it doesn't break. So don't drop it too hard. Just kind of get your finger as far down. That's good. You can let it go now. It won't. Ooh. Gosh. Okay. I practiced this like 5 times and I knew that was going to happen. Okay. So we pray. And amazing miracle happened that Jesus just healed us for the day and our vase is good. Okay, and then we're gonna read the Bible. Okay, so we're gonna pray, we're gonna read the Bible. Okay. Let me put this one in. We're gonna go to church. Okay. Yeah, there you go. We're fitting it in there. Okay, and then we're gonna disciple others. It'll be okay. She'll forgive me. Okay? Someday. Okay, so we put Jesus first. Then, if we do the other things, and I'll help you, but if you want to pour it on kind of where there's an opening there. Okay, watch what happens. See if we have room for the stuff that is us. Okay, let's come over. Oh, no, you're still good. Okay, let's come over to this side. Oh, that's okay. It's okay. Okay. It's going. Okay, look what happens. We can fit everything of us and be full of Jesus. Okay? Is that cool?
Yeah.
It's like a simple thing, nothing tricky. Okay? And that would represent how we fall apart sometimes and we need someone to come and pick us up and help us, right? Okay? All right? Thank you, Callan. You did awesome. Give him a hand. We'll leave that for you to look at. Okay? That's so funny. As I was practicing yesterday, I was really careful to put the rock, and I knew this is going to break one of these times. Okay. Sorry. All right. Would you stand with me, and we're going to close. Jesus taught over and over about the cost. He talked about another very important message and lesson that he taught is to seek first what?
Jesus.
The kingdom of God, Jesus. Seek him first. And then all these things will be added to you. What you're going to find is when your possessions or when your hobbies or your jobs, the things you have to do, when you put Jesus first, you're going to find that you'll still be able to do those things. And you'll be able to have Jesus as part of your life. So make that commitment today to serve him. to follow him, to seek him more. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I love you, Lord, and I thank you for this time. I thank you for our kids. They're so fun to have in church and minister through song and worship today. Bless them. Lord, as they go back to school, help them. Lord, we're in so many different age groups and grades, and we all learn at different ways and different levels. Pray a blessing over them that you would help them understand the things that are being taught. Help them to have great days, more than bad days. They would have good days. Help them to follow the directions. Lord, give them peace in their classrooms each day. I pray your protection over them. Lord, this world is so crazy. Lord, and there's people that for some reason, they want to do crazy stuff. We pray protection over our students, over our teachers, over each one here, God, that you would bless. Keep them, Lord. Help this year to be a year of growth in their relationship with God. Lord, that they would understand this promise from you that if we seek you first, all these things will be added. You'll bless. You'll keep us. You'll protect us. We'll be able to do the things that you're calling us to do and still have time for all the things of learning about you and growing and increasing Jesus in our life. Help us, Lord. So I pray a blessing over each one, each family here. Lord, as they do things to deny themselves, to decrease themselves, and to increase you and their family, bless them. Give them creative ideas. Give them wisdom, the things they need to change in their life and the things they need to do better in their life. What can we do to grow the faith in our family? Help them to fight and take stance for you, God. So I pray a blessing over them. Pray a blessing over our meal we're about to take together. Bless our fellowship together and our time for fun. Or bless the hands that have, many hands that have prepared our food and our time together. That it would just be a fun time and we get to know people we don't know very well and just have fun. Protect us from the heat and the sun. And that this would just be a fun time together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'll just give you a quick instruction. We're going to eat like we normally do. We'll have the lineup.